questions about it. Everybody will be happy over there. But everybody over yonder won't be happy. We're delighted that God has watched over us, brought us back to this place, that we might come together, fellowship, and worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's good to be back. Thank you for your prayers. Good time. Good time. Wasn't long enough, but good time. Oh, look out now. Look out. And we're delighted to see all of you who are present today. Anybody here want to go to heaven? Easily said. And according to heaven, easily done. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't make your own decisions regarding how God wants us to be, how to live, and how to manifest the fact that we are His adopted children. He's not coming down to show folks who we are. He wants us to show folks who He is and what He would have us to do as we sojourn here on planet Earth. And it's so good down here that we try hard to stay here as long as we can. But make your calling and election sure, because we know we can't stay here forever. But He has a place. Matter of fact, He has two places that you can stay forever. Heaven is one of those places. You know where the other place is? You don't want to go there. That's a forever place also. God did some things that He was not forced to do to keep us from going to that unpleasant place. He did it because of His love. You know the scripture, you know the text from childhood perhaps, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He responded by giving. All that we are required to do to make heaven our eternal home of abode is to love God. It's to love God. Everything He did was motivation, love. What we do for Him, motivation, love. We love Him enough. Heaven will be our eternal home of abode. We're glad to be home. Thank you again for our prayers. God's plan for us. God's plan for us. We are the chosen of God. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, if you would please. You did bring your Bibles. Romans chapter 8. Commencing with verse 24. For those of you who've been on our sick list for a while, we're glad to see you're up and at 'em again. Moving around. It's good to see you. For those of you who are visiting the Church of Christ, we want to encourage you to please pay close attention. And you have the privilege and the opportunity to question this preacher regarding everything that he preaches and teaches. I believe in book, chapter, and verse. From the book, the Bible, and the chapters and verses of the scriptures, the Bible. In Romans chapter 8, Commencing with what verse? 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Did you hear that? The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Isn't that good news? Say your prayers, be in favor with God, and the Spirit takes over and give our message to the Father. And we know that all things, and we know that all things do what? Work together for good to whom? To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. When we read the scriptures and we read about how the children of God were treated in the first century when the gospel was being preached by the apostles. In prison, even put to death. It makes our heart sad. But the text say, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. To be absent from the body is for the child of God is to be what? Present with the Lord. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. To be what? To be conformed to the image of his Son. His instructions to us, his guidelines for us, is to help us to be like the Son in our life. Formed to be the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to all of these things? If God, is that in your Bible? If God be for us, what does it matter? Who can be against us? Because God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us what? All things. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's chosen or God's elect? It is God that justifieth. What does it mean to be one of God's elect? That's not the subject. I gave you the subject. God's plan for us. Election is a doctrine that holds before the creation of the world, God chose out of the human race those he would redeem, bring to faith, justify, and glorify through his Son Jesus Christ. It is those people who would receive his message of redemption. God knows everything. There is nothing that God does not know. He knows who's going to be born. This is 2017. He knows who's going to be born in 3017. If the world is still existing. There is nothing that God does not know. It is those who receive his message of redemption is God well pleased. Not a substitute. Not something like it. But only that which is. Your Bible. Let's walk with me. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I know you know it from memory, but walk with me. Romans chapter 28. Commencing with verse 18. This is after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And Jesus came and spake unto them, that it is them as his apostles, saying, all power is given unto me everywhere, in heaven and in earth. Notice what he says to them now. Meeting with them after his death, after his resurrection. Only going to be with them a few days. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Go back to the first line. Go ye therefore and do what? Teach all nations. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them, yes. Notice also carefully now. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. Whosoever will can come to God. Just put in your notes, I won't go there, but Mark chapter 16, you know what it says, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Whosoever will, let him come. Don't go by your feelings. Don't go by what you think, because there are all kinds of religions in the world. Satan knew I can't stop his doctrine, but I can put out so many doctrines of the in the world that men, if they don't study the Word of God, they won't know which gospel is right. And I'll get some of them. He won't get all of them. One Lord. Notice what he says now. Jesus says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. If you can't read it, don't believe it. It came from Jesus. Whosoever will, let him come. His purpose. His design. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, commencing with verse 4, ending with verse 5. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, that's why they crucified him, but chosen of God and precious, you also as lively or living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to do what? To offer up spiritual sacrifices. Not literal sacrifices like they did on the old covenant. To offer up spiritual sacrifices which are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's why they are acceptable. Notice now. As you come to him. As you come to him. The living stone. Rejected of men. But chosen of God. And precious. To God. You also are like living stones. We also are being built up into a spiritual house. To be what? To be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices which are acceptable to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Again, it is God who has called, who has chosen us. Ephesians chapter 1. Dash over for a moment. Paul states plainly the security of that call. Ephesians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. It's in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 1. Tremendous, wonderful section as we look at Ephesians chapter 1. Now, my note says verses 4 and 6, but let's start with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. You with me? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings that heaven has to offer in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated, verse 5, us unto the adoption of children. In other words, those that I save, I will adopt them as my children. When we obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God adopts us as his children. So he has more than one son, but he has only one begotten son, but we become his adopted sons and daughters. Why do you do that, God? According to the good pleasure of his will. I do it because it gives me joy. Oh, isn't that something? The text says God is glorified when we give our lives to him. And it brings God, it brings joy to God when we live to please God, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have what? Redemption of our sins. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So that's why I did it. Just because of my love. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by man, Jesus, but chosen of God and precious to God, his son is, we come to God as a result of what his son did, so we become precious to God. Somebody loves you. When you give your life to God, somebody loves you. Don't nobody love me. Maybe not, but God does if you walk with him, if you obey him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices by the life that we live, which are acceptable unto God. Also, note, it is God who has called us, who has chosen us. Paul states plainly the security of that call. Ephesians chapter 1. And it's a great, strong, wonderful, wonderful call. Verses 4 and 6, as we read. According as he hath done what? Chosen us in him. When? Those of you who are in the body of Christ, before Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning God, God knew that you would become one of his adopted children. Genesis 1, in the beginning God, before that, God knew that you would become a child of his. God knows everything, everywhere, even before. According as he hath chosen us. Look at verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him. When? Before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy without blame before him in love. Having predetermined or predestinated us to be adopted children. By what Jesus did on the cross. By Jesus Christ to himself. According to the good pleasure of his will. Did you get that? God enjoys, God is well pleased when you hear his message, believe his message, repent of your sins, acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner, and acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ is his son, and you're buried in water baptism, then God adopts you as his child. You have television preachers, non-television preachers, telling people you want to be saved, just come on down and we'll say a prayer for you, or you say a prayer for yourself, and God will, and you'll be saved. There is not one person. The gospel was preached for the first time in your Bible, based upon your Bible and my Bible, in Ephesians chapter 2. By the power of the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of the apostles. Read it. For the first time on planet Earth, that motley crowd of thousands heard the message preached by the apostles, and Peter being the chief spokesman. When Peter made the point in verse 36, that same Jesus that y'all hung on the cross a few days ago, he's alive and well, and he has sent forth this. He's back in glory. When they heard this, the Bible says, if you can follow me in Acts chapter 2, it's about verse 36, they were shocked, said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They realized that they had sinned. What shall we do? If they weren't careful and heard, talk to a preacher of today, what shall we do? You just pray and ask God to forgive you. Never. Never would the Holy Spirit give that answer. Never would an apostle give that answer. They are not children of God. Prayer is for God's children. Peter said unto them, do what? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of remission of your sins, and you shall be saved. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this wicked generation, or from this untoward generation. Then they, that motley crowd, were baptized. The Bible says about 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus Christ. And God added them to his church. That's the beginning of the Lord's church. The Lord's church on planet Earth. No one. Watch this now. Watch this. You got a minute? I want you to see this. Not just for yourself, but for others as well. The gospel of Jesus is preached for the first time on planet Earth by the apostles. They are preaching by the power of the Holy Spirit. They preached as the Spirit gave them utterance. Read Acts chapter 2 and you'll see that. All of them were preaching initially. But when we get to about verse 12 or verse 15, Peter becomes the chief speaker. Because Jesus promised him that privilege. I think it's about verse 16 of Acts chapter 2. Peter becomes the chief spokesman. And he preaches from 15 until he gets to about verse 36. Where he said to them, that same Jesus that y'all crucified 50 days ago, that was the Son of God. When they heard this, let's go over there and look at it. Acts chapter 2, I keep referring to it. Kelly, if you're in Ephesians, turn to your left. Acts chapter 2. I want you to see the first time on planet Earth. You may not obey the gospel. If you're not here in the church that was started on the day that Peter, that we're talking about now, began, you may never become a member of that church. But I'm sharing with you what I can read in the Bible. And I would recommend to you, make sure you can read in the Bible for yourself what's being taught to you. In Acts chapter 2. And when I'm starting at verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, when you, I'm sorry, I'm starting in chapter 2. But the statement in verse 1 of chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. That's talking about all the apostles were in Jerusalem in a house on the second floor with other people who had followed, had decided to follow Jesus. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad that this was going on, because this was Jewish holiday, so there was a lot of people in Jerusalem. That's where the Lord's Church, the Church of Christ, started in the city of Jerusalem. Now, when this was noised abroad, verse 6, noised abroad, the multitude came together and was confounded because of every man heard them speak in their own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? They don't do all this school teaching down there. How do they get to know all these different languages? And how hear we, verse 8, and how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phylia and Pamphylia, and Egypt and in parts of Libya, about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, verse 12, and said one to another, what meaneth this? Others mock and said, they drunk, they're full of new wine. That's when Peter, who had been promised by Jesus to be the first preacher to preach his gospel on planet earth. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and became the chief spokesman. Said unto them, are you men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. They ain't drunk. They're not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it's just 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God. So Peter begins to preach the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit. The first time the gospel of Jesus Christ is taught on planet earth is right here in this text. Verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, why do you keep saying that, preacher? Because it doesn't mean to pray. It doesn't mean to pray. And I'll prove it. Now we're going to go from here. Come on down, keep going. To verse 37. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Peter has come to the point in his message where he says that same Jesus that you are crucified, it is he. It is he who has given forth this power to us to preach this gospel. Now when they heard this, verse 37, they were pricked or shocked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They realized that they were sinners. What shall we do? Now you know and I know many people are being told on even on national television, what shall we do? Just pray this prayer like this and God will save you right where you are. Jesus had 12 apostles. Judas betrayed him. They chose one to replace Judas, so they still had 12 apostles preaching on Pentecost. No apostle, guided by the Holy Spirit, ever told anyone to pray that they might be saved and become Christians. Not one. So why do you do it? Then Peter said unto them, because they were asking the question, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, be godly sorrowful for your sins, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission and for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words that he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this wicked generation. You see, he preached. He just kept preaching. Kept preaching. And I don't read where anybody told him to stop preaching. But he did stop. Then they that, watch this, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and added to these apostles. So the number that day jumped sky high. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Isn't that something? That is wonderful. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. And all that believed, look at verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common. They believed the same thing. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added. Is that in your Bible? Yes. The Lord added to what? Notice the word church in that verse. Does it have an S on it?
Nope.
You got 3,000 people, you can start a lot of churches. That's not God's plan. One church, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's God's plan. That's God's plan for man's salvation. Not churches. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Not a church, church here, and a church, church there, here, church there, church everywhere, church, church. One church. Go into all the world and preach the same doctrine. They were all baptized with the one Holy Spirit. They taught the same thing because the Holy Spirit gave them the same message. And wherever they preached the gospel, the people obeyed, they established the Church of Christ. The churches of Christ salute you. Oh, I'm not finished. But you might be. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. Let him come. Come. Come to Jesus. Are you interested? As we bring this to a close. But I didn't get off page one. I've got page 3 to go to. Out of peace. Are you serious about your salvation? Do you seriously want to go to heaven? Now, you know, we all know we're going to leave here. We're not going to stay on planet Earth. The Bible plainly tells us this is going to be burned up. But if you want to make heaven your eternal home of abode and live with God, the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ and all of the righteous, you must be a member of the family. That's why Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to all the world. The gospel that they preached, they were guided by the Holy Spirit. They didn't have to try to remember what to say. The Holy Spirit gave them the words to say. And they preached the same thing because they all had the same Holy Spirit. My Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. He is writing to the church of Christ in Ephesus. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You listening? There is one body. There is one. You know the text? You know the text? There is one body. There is one spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. But every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended is also he that will come back again. He will come back to planet Earth. Will come back in the air, rather. And take the rest of us. If we're still alive at that time, we'll wake up. And if we're still alive and already walking around, we'll be caught up in the air according to this book called the Bible. I want to be real clear about this. Many of these preachers who preach that doctrine, that you can be saved and Lord add you to any church, they may be serious because that's what they've been taught, so that's what they know. And what I'm sharing with you, I'm endeavoring to share it with you because I want to be saved. And I'm not angry with you and I'm not angry with them. God, but that they would preach what's in the book. Not what you heard. You hear what I preach? Check it out. Check it out in the book for yourself. Don't just take my word. Don't just take any preacher's word. Check it for yourself. Because you're going to say, according to Revelation chapter 20, you're going to stand before God for yourself. And God keeps a diary on each and every human being. That's in Revelation chapter 20 also. And it's going to be open at the judgment. Your diary. But this book is also going to be open at the judgment right along with your diary. And if they don't coincide, heaven can never be your home. Don't get angry. Get wise. Get wisdom by studying the Bible for yourself and knowing the truth. God loves you. Since he loves you, he wants me to love you. And I love you too. That's why I dare to. That's one of the minor reasons I dare to teach the truth. The major reason I dare to teach the truth is because my book is being kept by God too, and it's going to be open at the judgment. And I wanted to read. He taught my word, book, and gave the folk book, chapter, and verse. If you want, listen. Why be thinking about God and Jesus Christ if you don't want to know what they have to say for yourself? Don't just go by what folks say. Right. Check it out to see if that's what he said. If that's the way he wants you to live, where are you today? According to Peter, as we read in Acts chapter 2, if you're not in the church of Christ, Jesus didn't establish your church. That's plain and simple. I mean no disrespect, but I mean to share with you what God holds me responsible for sharing with individuals calling myself one of his gospel preachers. How do you become a member of the church of Christ? Like the people did in Acts chapter 2 that we read about this morning. They heard the apostles preach. They believe what the apostles preach. Hear, believe. They said they were godly sorrowful. They wanted to know immediately, what must we do? You repent of your sins. God is sorrowful for the wrongful life that you've lived. Acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and then be buried. That's what he told those people, to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If that is your choice, it's your soul, you can live it just like you want to live it on planet Earth, but not in eternity. Be baptized. That opportunity is granted to you today, right now. The water is ready. The garments are ready. The baptizer is ready. The only question mark is whether or not you are ready to believe what you have read this morning in the Bible. I pray, God, that you are, so that we can all go to heaven together and rejoice in glory forevermore. And if you're here, you're already in the Church of Christ, a member of the body of Christ, adopted by God as his child, but you know that you have not lived your life that's representative of how he wants you to live, this is your opportunity to come. Ask the church to pray for you because you're forgiven. You have sinned and you want to ask the church to pray for you because you can't sin for, pray for yourself because you're a sinner. You're in sin. Ask the church to pray for you because your sin that you committed was open. And you will be restored again. And have a relationship, a favorable relationship with God Almighty. This is serious, serious business, church. Let's not play with God. Let's not put him in second place or third place. He comes first. The choice is yours. May God bless you to make a God-honoring decision as we together stand and sing a song of encouragement. Come on and let it be known.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to the brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty souls. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain. Oh.